down, come down, come down, come down. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come down, come down, come down, come down, come down.
The Holy Spirit came upon them, they gathered all together and prayed. When a mighty wind descended from the heavens, tongues of fire rested on them, tongues of fire upon their heads. They were filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Each one spoke in a foreign tongue. They were shocked and they were amazed, for the language each one spoke was not his own.
Pentecost had now come. Oh, the Counselor had come. Jesus Christ sent the Spirit in his name.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come down, come down, come down, come down, come down. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come down, come down, come down, come down, come down. All had gathered into one place, all had shared together their wealth, all were one and all were bound together. As the prophet Joel had foretold, I will pour my Spirit on you, and your people shall have a brand new vision. All your people shall open their eyes, all your old men shall dream dreams, and your children prophesy in God's name.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, listeners. And welcome all the guests. This is just a full table here. It just reminded me of Jesus and his disciples. We're all here at the table.
Great. Thank you.
Yes. And so this is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. And we love you, Jesus. And we love you, listeners. And I'll just, I guess, start by introducing, I'm Katerina Vidi, and co-hosting with me is Barbara Campbell.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And I'll say we have Pat Lannon from St. Catherine of Siena Church in Franklin Square. We have Susan, Harry, Betty, and Father Peter.
That's
welcome. That's again.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just wanted to mention that if you have any questions or thoughts, the text-in number today is 516-784-6081. Again, it's 516-784-6081. If you want to call in, the call-in number is 631-888-8811. And we have a TuneIn radio app, which is for free, that you could download in the App Store. It's a little green app, and you could listen from wherever you are. You could listen to the radio show 10 a.m. on Saturdays. And it's very easy. All you do is find WGBB in the app, and you could have it set. And all you do is click on the app from wherever you are. And I highly recommend it. It's great quality if you have an iPhone or Android. And actually, last week I was listening. I was away in Washington, D.C., and I used that app. So I really encourage everyone to get the app, because I know sometimes in your home it's hard to get the station or what have you. So you could just have it on your phone or your iPad, any device usually.
And we have an FM.
Yeah. It's 95.9 FM. Mm-hmm. As well. Yeah, 95.9. So, all right. So today we're going to be talking about healing, healing ministry, and how the Lord works through us to heal other people. And I guess we'll just start with the healing ministry of St. Catherine of Siena, and how it began, and what do you do? Or unless of did you want to start somewhere else, or is that okay? Or did you have a different thought?
Mm-hmm. Maybe just mention a couple of things about healing.
Sure.
For those viewers, listeners who don't, aren't maybe aware of what it really is. So I'd like to ask our team here how they understand healing. What have their experiences been? So Harry, would you like to give us an idea?
Have I got 3 hours?
I know.
I had my first experience, I believe, with healing at a time of personal tragedy in my family, where I was at the funeral of one of my sons, and we were all in the funeral parlor, just the family. And my wife, who's a very emotionally strong woman, had a total meltdown. Complete breakdown, which is very understandable. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, you got to help me. I don't know what to do here." And I began to pray what I understand is the prayer of Saint Francis. "Lord, make me a channel of your peace." And as I prayed that prayer, enormous power surged into me. It wasn't me, had nothing to do with me. I clasped my wife, and that power flowed into her, and she said, "What is this? What's happening?"
Wow.
It was inexplicable, really inexplicable.
So while you were praying the prayer of St. Francis,
I began to be filled with power that was not mine. It had nothing to do with me.
It's amazing. Beautiful.
It got us through a very rough day in our lives. That started me thinking about healing, because I felt that somehow I was healing my wife at that point. Mm. I wasn't doing it. I had nothing to do with it. It was my hands that touched her, but it was certainly that power did not come from me. And I began to think about healing and what does it mean in the context of our faith. And then I got involved with our great man, John Palmer. And I was at a healing seminar where he had two guests named Ed Eckhart and Annette Eckhart, who were giving a seminar about healing. And they started off by saying, "Is there anybody here who's seriously ill, needs prayer?" And a woman stood up and said she had cancer. So I said, okay. I had just been diagnosed with prostate cancer myself about 3 weeks before that. So I said, oh, yeah, I have a problem, too. And I started to walk up, and as I'm walking up to Ed, he said to me, hey, your right leg is shorter than your left leg. I had no knowledge of that. And he began to pray. My leg went out, stretched way out, and inadvertently went back into place as he prayed over me. It was amazing. And back pain that I'd had for a long time was gone. So then I asked him to pray over my prostate cancer, too, and which he did. And I thought I was probably cured. So I went back to the Mercy Hospital, and I told all the nurses, I told the doctor, who was a good Orthodox Jewish guy, and he believed that I could have been healed. He didn't reject it. The nurses all believed that I could have been healed. And I asked for retesting, and they retested my PSA, which had been about 10.5, was down to 2.
Oh, praise
I thought, God. Wow, this is, and they were all astonished at this. But Annette had been very careful about saying, you gotta, don't take these things gratuitously. Check it out carefully. So I asked the doctor to do an MRI, which he did do, and it turned out the cancer was there. It was still there. So then I had to pray about what to do about it. So I prayed, and I was told, get the briefest thing you can, which was external radiation at that time. I had it. That was about 11 years ago, and I'm okay.
Praise the Lord.
I'm okay.
Beautiful.
So then I began to get more involved in seeing what's happening with this healing business. Father Peter would never remember it, but he prayed over me, and I went down, slept in the Spirit, which was an amazing experience. I wouldn't even try to describe it, but it's an amazing experience for those people who have experienced it, and I guess everybody here probably has. So I began to try to pray for people in a team, always in a team, and I still pray for people in a team. And initially, I would just say, try to ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, heal this person. And then I got involved with this prayer community called Christ the King Prayer Community, where you try to pray in tongues and ask the Lord what it is you want, what he wants to tell this person. And I tried to do that and then tried to get into the healing, whatever it is. And the other thing that I prayed, it was part of a healing team at St. Ignatius and then part of a healing team at St. Catherine's. And in the Christ the King prayer community, we pray over each other often. And I pray for people as often as I can, as often as I can. I had, this is kind of off the wall, but I had, my daughter was seriously ill. She had a back issue and she couldn't find it. She's living in Florida. Couldn't find a doctor. And I have another group that I belong to where a good friend said he was going to Israel. He would take any petitions that you have and he would place them in the Western Wall of the temple for us. So I said, I'm a Catholic. You know, should I be asking this? I know it's the same God we pray to, but I had my doubts about what to do. At Christ the King prayer community, a woman's praying over me, and she says, oh, I see you're going to Israel. I see the Israeli flag. I see the Temple Mount. There's no way she could possibly have known
Incredible.
About that.
Wow.
So needless to say, my daughter's name went into the Western Wall. Within a month, she had found a surgeon. She had surgery and totally recovered.
Praise the Lord.
There's more to that than that, but that's enough for me.
Wow.
I do try to pray over people in prayer teams. I ask the Lord what it is he wants from them. And I'm an absolute firm believer, speaking for myself, that our family trees need healing. Family trees need healing. Back three generations, forward three generations.
Tell us a little about the forward three generations.
Praying for the forward generation. Well, I pray for my great-grandparents. I pray for my grandparents. I pray for my parents. I pray for my children, and I pray for my grandchildren. I don't have any great-grandchildren.
For the ancestral healing.
There's a big formal prayer, but my prayer is, I think, comes from my heart, simple. Heal all of the woundedness that's in that family tree. Mm. Heal all of the resentments that are in that family tree. Bring them forgiveness and break any bondage that's being passed down through that generation. Break it off and replace it with your love. I pray that as often as I can.
Harry, that's really... What a story. A lot of stories there. We could talk forever about those stories.
Good.
Thank you. I wanted to say something that Harry, though, brings to mind that's very, very important to emphasize with healing, that, you know, people say, well, I don't have a healing ministry, or I'm not special enough to pray for healing. What I want you to know is that as the grandfather, the patriarch, the mother, the father, the woman praying for her husband, the husband praying for her spouse, those bonds of sacrament, that covenant that you have as a family, really is so much more powerful than even if you went to the greatest healing minister that you could find and you stood on lines 2 hours long. It's actually more powerful, and the healing works so much more expediently when it's a family member, you know, praying like a mother praying for her children, a father praying for her children. Harry's example of going over to his wife. I mean, he could have brought in the most wonderful, and they're all great, evangelical healer, you know, who has all kinds of stadiums filled with people. He could have brought that person into that funeral home, and it would not have come near what comes through our sacrament and our family lines. So I just, that really came home to me, you know, when you're talking about the power that went into your wife. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara, too, for showing, for telling me that and telling everybody that, for that reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. We all have a mandate. We have a mandate to pray for our families. Mm-hmm. It's not just, do you want to, do you feel like it, or, you know, am I up to, am I holy enough? It's not about that. Jesus gave us authority through his passion and death. Mm-hmm. He gave us a mandate to pray for one another. And this is an amazing example of that.
Yes, it is.
Susan, do you have a healing story to share?
You know, something did happen recently, and it was with my husband. He's been going through a little bit of a rough time, but he's doing well. He's doing well. But he went out. So he came home. He had been in the hospital. He came home to run, and what happened was he fell that day. Same path he always takes, and he knows this little big curb is there, and he still took a fall. Came home, and that evening his leg just blew up. Really, it was really distorted. The knee, above the leg, below the leg, really distorted. And he started to, he seemed a little shaky. And so I just paused for a minute. I sat next to him, and we just prayed in Jesus' name for the leg, all parts, all the blood, everything to go back as originally designed. And he seemed to quiet down a little bit. And we just both, you know, drifted off to bed. And about 3 hours later, he got up in the middle of the night, and his leg was completely back to normal. Just completely. It looked like it was, oh, Betty, you know, from having your ankle, those kinds of falls, it could be a 2 week, a 6 week thing. This was a 4 hour thing. Praise the Lord.
Another great.
Praise the Lord. He's the healer.
A wife praying for a husband.
Yeah.
Wow. Love it.
I think
it was
an
honor.
That's such an example also of Jesus' love for us, that he wants to heal us, and he did it right away for your husband. That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I just sort of drifted off to bed, and it was such a blessing when he woke me up to tell me. I put on the light and looked, and there it was, back into normal. Praise the Lord.
And Susan, I just got a text actually for you from a listener that said, question for Susan Young, how can I purchase tickets to Bridge for Peace auction for the healing ministry? I hear it is a good annual event. I would like to very much to attend. Thank you.
All right, so to take 30 seconds or so, Bridge for Peace is a healing ministry. They've celebrated, I think, over 30 years out in Wading River, Long Island. And we have an auction, and of course, all the proceeds go to the healing ministry or to the orphans, which they have in Uganda, or things going on, the healing going on here in the United States. To answer your question, you'll call the Bridge for Peace office. I happen to know the number. It's 631-730-3982. And then also you can go to bridgeforpeace.org.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And right. Betty, how about your story?
I guess I go back quite a while. The beginning, I had many successive deaths early on in my lifetime, which really caused me to go on a journey. I was probably looking for consolation, and I found myself out in Steubenville many, many years ago, in the very beginning, probably in the early 80s.
Who had died, Betty?
Oh, just members of my family.
One after another?
Yes, one after another. Successively. And I really was hurting and looking for the reality of the Lord in my life. You know, I started questioning, you know, are you really Lord? Are you really real? And that, as I said, it brought me to Steubenville to a conference that was on healing many years ago. And in the process, I learned that we are all expected to be healers, as was just Barbara just stated. It really isn't who we don't have any particular power. It's allowing the Lord Himself to just use us as He wants to use us, to be a vessel of healing, to pray for our families. And so I was into a conference, and it was a circle of people that were gathered. And Father Michael Scanlon, who just passed away recently, was leading the healing. And somebody pushed me into the circle closer. And then they started praying with this gal, everyone that was in the circle. And the person behind me just kept pushing me in and pushed my hand as though I was to just start to pray with the group. And I realized that the Lord was saying, I want you to be open to this. But I was reticent at the time and wasn't so sure. As it would just happen to be, I found myself going to John Palmer's the Mass at St. Aidan's in Williston Park on the last Friday evening of every month. And there was always someone who was invited who had the gift of healing to pray with people. And I became committed to attending that Mass. And John Palmer, I knew quite well over the years. And he said to me, Betty, I want you to come to St. Ignatius, and we're going to start a healing team at St. Ignatius once a month to pray for people after the Mass, and I want you to be part of it. And I said, well, I have to pray about it to myself, but I knew that the Lord was moving me again, so I didn't want to be stubborn or disobedient or whatever word that I could think of at that time. So I said, yes, Lord, and I found myself going to St. Ignatius once a month. I was part of the team with Harry, and I found it an extremely beautiful experience. I received more each month than ever from just the humility of the people that came before us asking for prayer. And my heart was filled with just their simplicity and how the Lord was using them to touch me, even though I was, to be the one praying. So it was just kind of an evolution for me, and it's been a tremendous gift to me in my life. I've received many personal healings over the years, and I just know that I keep walking, following as closely to the Lord as I can. Sometimes I feel like I'm running after him all the time, but he's certainly leading me on a path, and it's been a great, great blessing in my life.
Oh, thank you, Betty.
Thank you.
That's a good story because it tells how, you know, you were feeling kind of like out of it. You weren't like, oh, wow, let me be a great healer here. You know, you were really feeling your own poverty of spirit, so to speak, your own weaknesses, and yet that's what the Lord used to draw you. And I think when you're telling the story, I'm thinking of the wounded healer, you know?
Yes.
There's a great, yes. Great message in that, the wounded healer. I think that that's kind of like what God uses, our wounds, really. And, right? We're so much more open to God's grace flowing through us when we've experienced it ourselves. And I think that's important for people to know, because a lot of times people will get an attitude, well, how come those people get to pray over people? And, you know, a lot of times people will say that, well, how did you get this job? But you got the job because you went through hell and you survived. Yes. And you came out the other end. That's how you get the job. Pat.
Okay, my story starts as a child. I was very lonely. My father got hit by a truck when I just had made my first communion, and he got hit by a truck right after that. And I felt like it wasn't fair because I was only 8 years old, and my mom really didn't know how to take care of me. I was an only child, and I really, really had a horrible childhood because I felt like something was wrong with me, that I had this kind of life. We never had company over. I was very lonely, very lonely.
Your father died, is that it, from the truck?
Yeah, he got hit by a truck.
He was killed.
Well, he lasted like 7 days in a coma.
I see. Okay.
And, I really didn't get to see him again. My aunts wanted me to see him, but I didn't want to see him all hooked up to machines or whatever, so I didn't really get to see him. But I just felt like something was wrong with me, that I had this life, because my friends would, to me, they would seem like they have a nice life, they have families come over, we never had company, always alone, so I was very alone. And then I got into trouble, because I wanted attention, I missed a father's love all my life, I always wanted a father, and I got into trouble when I was older, and I was rebellious, teenager, and I took advantage of my mother. She was very nice and very sweet, and I took advantage of her. I always said, I want money for this, I want money for that, and we had no money. Very difficult. And then I got introduced to go to the Crucio. That was when I was much older, and I don't know if you ever heard of the Crucio.
No.
And it was a beautiful retreat. It was in Brooklyn on Humboldt
Tell
Street.
Tell them a little tiny bit, about the
Crucio. It was somebody that I met at the YMCA, and she was telling, because she knew I was disturbed. I was very, very unhappy, very unhappy. And she said, there's a thing called, it's a retreat, and it's called Crucio, and it's about knowing yourself, finding out about yourself, and finding God in the midst of all your problems and your troubles. And I took the advice from a stranger. I'm very shy. People that know me think that I'm not shy, but I'm very shy. And I took upon myself, I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go on this retreat. And I went to Humboldt Street in Brooklyn with people I didn't know. I didn't know anybody there. And it was the most beautiful weekend of my life. I was roommate with this woman who was like a mother to me, who throughout the whole weekend kept pointing out the good things in me that I never knew I had, because I thought I was just garbage. I thought that I was a curse. And she brought all the goodness out in me. I had people supporting me that I didn't even know, people praying for me that I didn't even know. They were praying ahead of time for the people that made this retreat. And at the end of the retreat, they gave you this button that said in the middle, I'm lovable, God doesn't make junk. And I wouldn't take it because I said, that's not right. I'm junk, I can't take it. And I wouldn't put it on. And then we had to go back to our room and get ready for the ceremony and stuff. And I don't know, between that hour that I was in the room with this woman and tears that were shed and sharing, I found out that I wasn't junk, that I was lovable, and I was able to put this pin on. And believe me, that was like monumental in my life. For me to put this pin on, I'm not junk. I'm good. There's goodness in me. You know, I'm made in the image of God. But it took a long time for that to happen. And what a beautiful retreat it was. It was the best time of my life, other than having children. I love my boys. But from there on, and always prayer was an important part of my life, because even as a child, we were poor. We were on welfare. We had no money. I had that shame being on welfare. But my mother went to the parish priest and said, can my daughter go to this church? And we had no money to pay the tuition, but he took us in. That was St. Martin of Tours in Brooklyn. And I remember being in the processions, the May processions, and they asked me to be a leader, and you wore the crown, and then you put the rose petals when you went down. And those were moments that I felt God calling, God saying, I love you. But I didn't really pick it up then. I didn't pick that up until I was much older at the Crucio. But God was with me even back then, because I even found when I was scared, I would pray, and I would feel calm. And when I was in church, I always felt like church was home. Church was home. It was a safe place to be. But, you know, that was all along as I was growing up. So God was with me all the time. But I didn't realize it until I made that Crucio, that God was with me all along through all the bad times. I mean, my father, he was raised in an orphanage. His parents couldn't afford the kids. They put them all in a home, and they were all beat. So that's all he knew was beating. So when I was little, I got beat all the time. And I used to run under the bed and crawl into a fetal position because to protect myself. I was so afraid. But he didn't know any better because that's what he knew. That's what he knew as a child in the orphanage. So, but God was with me because I would pray then, and that would calm me down. Always prayer. Prayer was an important part of my life, and it still is. I start my morning with prayer, and throughout the day, I try to remember, pray. In the Bible, it tells you to pray unceasingly, you know, throughout your day, not just when you're in church. I'm a crossing guard. I pray on my crossing for everybody to be safe, that I get them across safe. I pray for, you know, throughout my whole day, I pray for my family. There's different struggles that go on in my family. They don't even know it, but I pray. I pray all the time. I bless my house with holy water when I can, because I feel like the evil one wants to destroy us. The evil one wants us to think that God doesn't care about us. God doesn't love us. When things go wrong, the evil one is right there. See, God loves you. He doesn't love you, but you have to just rebuke that and say, no, God does love me. Jesus suffered, so I'm going to have to suffer too. You know, and if I follow the steps of Jesus, I have to accept my suffering, and God will give me the grace and the strength to go through each cross that I have to carry. And believe me, it gets you through. And I love God, and I love the Blessed Mother. I feel like they're with me all the time, and my life has changed because of prayer. And I feel that because of prayer, I need to help other people to pray. So I met John Palmer. I love John Palmer, father figure in my life. I met him. He was like my spiritual advisor / friend / therapist / father. He meant the world to me. And every time I would go to him, we would always start with prayer, and then we'd end with prayer. And anytime I had like a struggle, he said, let's pray about it. Everything went back to prayer again. If you're struggling, pray. If you're happy, pray. Give thanks to God. But he taught me that. And he taught me about hugging, you know, because I was very shy. And he'd say, give me a hug. Come on, give me a hug. And he taught me all about the hugging, that hugging is important, and that it helps people. It brings out love in them when you hug them. So I try. He's like my mentor. I try to be like him. And with the healing, I'm the leader of the Light of Christ prayer group at St. Catherine of Siena. We meet every Monday night, 7:30, in the chapel of the Siena Center. All are welcome. I don't care if you're Catholic, you're not Catholic, you're welcome. There's one God. As long as you believe in God, you're welcome. And we share with each other about struggles that we're going through. We have Bible readings. Once a month, I have a speaker that'll come in and give a presentation. So I feel honored to be the leader of the prayer group. But God takes the unequipped, and he equips them, because believe me, I would, my relatives, they would never, you know, I don't even see them, but they would never think that me, I would become a prayer group leader and speak for God, to bring people to God. They would never, but that's what, who God chooses, the people that you would never expect. He takes the lowly and he raises them up. So in God's eyes, I'm beautiful, but in the world's eyes, I really don't care anymore. There was a time that I always wanted people to affirm me and give me validation, but the only validation that I need is from God, my Father, my true Father. And John Palmer taught me that. He taught me a lot. But anyway, getting back to how we got the healing at St. Catherine's, John Palmer was in the Diocese of Rockville Center with our pastor, Monsignor Rick Figolosi, and they were back-to-back in the office, and they were very good friends, and John was always for healing. And down the road, we got Monsignor at our parish at St. Catherine's, and John said, go to him and ask him if you could do pray-overs. I said, really? I don't even know him, and I was very nervous. He said, just go to him and tell him what you want to do. He said, everything will be fine. And we had our feast that summer, and he was his first time being there, and I went up to him, and I said, Father, would you consider doing pray-overs after a mass at St. Catherine's? You know, and I said, I go to the 9. I would do it after that mass or whatever you want. And he's like, when can you start? Can you do it next week? So he was all on board for that. And since then, we've been doing pray-overs at St. Catherine of Siena, Franklin Square, after the 9:30 mass. Now it's 9:30 mass for anybody who wants to be prayed with. Because people would wait for a healing mass, you know, for their prayer. They say, when's the next healing mass? I need prayer. Now they could come once a week. Or with me, if you see me in the supermarket and you need prayer, I'll go in the corner, I'll pray. Because I believe you could pray anywhere. You could pray in a closet, in a corner of a room, in a hallway. It doesn't matter. God is there. You don't have to wait to be in a church or at a healing mass. But everybody needs prayer. And so many people are lost. So many people feel like they're never going to make it, that tomorrow's not going to be a better day. But when you have God and you have hope, you will have a better day, no matter what you have. And I have a friend right now that was given five years to live. Her name is Francine. She has cancer. She's had cancer in different spots, but I keep telling her, and I hope you're listening, Francine, God is with you. And even though things seem bleak, and with your own eyes, you see no answer, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So I just thank you, Katerina, for inviting me. And anybody out there that needs help, God is your answer. Believe me, get down on your knees and ask for it, and God will give you whatever you need. Maybe not what you want, but he always gives us what we need. So thank you.
Amen.
I love that part. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. That was awesome. Thank you. That was really awesome. I think it really brings to bear that, you know, the reason the Lord uses people that have, and who hasn't really, but the reason he uses people that have responded to his healing themselves is because you have stories. These are our witnesses. These are our testimonies. You know, so often in counseling, I hear very difficult stories that people tell me, and I always say to them, God's building your testimony. This is going to become your testimony. You know, what you're going through is really going to be what the Lord uses to inspire everybody else. It's just amazing how that works. He qualifies the called,
yes,
right?
Yes.
He qualifies, yes, the called.
Amen.
Now, you Father, talked about, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Father Peter, what?
Well, it's really an environment of faith that's going to help us, right? We should really be expecting some wonderful things coming out of St. Catherine's with the faith environment like we've been hearing about over here.
Kidding.
You know, now see, here's the thing that Jesus wants to heal. But remember when he was in Nazareth there, that's a sad line, but then it's also a hopeful line. And he could do no mighty work there because of their lack of faith, remember, in his own, except to heal a few people on his way out. Okay, so in other words, when the unbelievers weren't looking, he laid a few quick hands. And so the Lord can work in adverse environments, but he prefers, the royal road is to work in an environment of faith. When the men came with the paralyzed man, they opened the roof, and no one let the paralyzed man down on his cot in front of Jesus. Jesus, seeing their faith, not the paralyzed man's faith, but their faith, the guys with the little ropes letting him down. It was their faith that Jesus responded to. So it's a very important thing to have that environment. We wonder why healings occur or why healings don't occur. I often think sometimes theologians and so forth, they question the healing ministry and so forth, or think it's just all psychological or something like that. So, but you know, you'd say to yourself, well, you know, what about the faculty lounge at such and such university? Do you ever pray over by anybody in the faculty lounge? Well, if they don't, no wonder they're not seeing any healing. You see, no wonder they're not experiencing anything like that, because they would have to stretch, you know, beyond the intellectual to the experience of faith and to move in that faith. So I just wanted to mention those things. I'll get one other little thing too. It's an environment of faith. What does Naaman the Syrian say after he's healed? Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Well, remember, they had notions of different gods that were powerful in different places. So what does Naaman ask? And it's a magnificent thing. He tries to give a gift to the prophet for his healing. The prophet won't accept it. He will absolutely says, well, then please allow me to take 2 mule loads of earth from Israel back to my, because what he's going to do in his own house back in Syria, he's going to spread that earth on the floor in a place. He's going to pray on that dirt as if he were in Israel. See, it's a little bit of a simple notion, but it's like holding on to a piece of that environment of faith. You see what I mean? It's holding on to that. You know, we make pilgrimages and so forth. I mean, God can heal anywhere, but he uses different kind of signs. So it was a magnificent testimony to this man coming to acknowledge, you know, the power of the God of Israel, you know, because he wanted the earth from Israel back in his own country. It's a very interesting thing. So remember that, you know, the healing is a sign. Not everybody, you don't want to say this. Our humanity wants to say everybody should be, and everybody is touched by God, you know, that you don't get what you want, but you get what you need, you know. But on the other hand, there are signs. When the mighty works, there are signs that God is breaking, and we should be looking for more and other things too, you know, about it. So that's, it's really that God is moving. So we don't focus only on the one healing. We focus on all the kinds of things. And then the healings will pop up. They'll pop up when you least expect them. When you least, all of a sudden, somebody you aren't even thinking about too much gets a healing. You know what I mean? And it's a sign that we praise God for that. So
I think the important thing, too, is that to always respect the mystery of the mind of Christ. You know, the mystery.
The mystery of God.
We can't figure it out, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. It's a challenge, because we, especially when people aren't healed the way we think they need to be healed.
That's right.
You know, and I always think that probably the best healing prayer we can ever pray when someone is critically ill and, you know, maybe it looks like they have very little time left, well, we want to pray very powerful prayers of healing, you know, when that kind of thing happens. But maybe the best prayer we can pray, and the most trusting prayer, is, Lord, have your way with this person. Have your way. I don't want them to have 1 minute more or 1 minute less of the life that you intended for them from their mother's womb. So allow them to be totally in your will. And I guess ultimately that is the greatest healing that we can have. We need a healing to pray that prayer. And then they do. But I wanted to ask you about the healing masses, because that's a very important aspect of healing that not everyone understands. And you've been doing that for about 45 years now.
Well, you're doing healing masses.
Masses.
We have one coming up. I wish I had my date book. I would give you that right away.
It's so you have one every month. Early March. At St. Francis.
Right at St. Francis, everyone. Just please call in 757-7435. We'll give you the next one.
St. Francis Church in Greenlawn.
That's near the Huntington area.
March 2nd. Thank you, Betty.
There you go. See,
thank you.
She has my book.
March 2nd.
Second is the next healing mass.
Praise the Lord.
So can you give us a little of the theology behind the healing mass, please?
Well, the healing mass is, of course, every mass is a healing mass. I mean, the Eucharist is, you know, listed under the sacraments of healing. But on the other hand, a healing mass is an opportunity for us to focus, you know, on the ministry of healing, and then also to have testimonies and also to have prayovers. So we try to integrate, you know, the full aspect of it, open up the prayer of the faithful to people to make spontaneous open petitions. That increases faith. The Eucharistic self, that they're going to be, it's a healing moment to receive Christ. That we can take some time to pray. And then, of course, we have testimonies, and that's an intrinsic part of it. I mean, there's look what the Lord has done. There's the way the little hymn goes, look what the Lord has done. You know, he healed my body, he healed my soul, and all of this. It's, and so, and the testimonies sometimes are very simple, or you know, but most of the time the Lord uses those testimonies, and the Lord guides the people. He tried to tell them to keep it to a simple thing, focus on Christ, don't get off into a tangent too much. But I mean, we do get some amazing stories of how the Lord's working. And then of course the prayovers are always powerful. Many people do rest in the Spirit. That's not intrinsic to healing. Again, in the beginning of charismatic renewal, people who remember the beginning, resting in the Spirit didn't happen in the first 2 years of charismatic renewal. It wasn't, and all of a sudden it started to happen in Father McNutt's ministry. And I remember being at a workshop where he was talking about this as the latest new thing. Okay, and you know, and again, it's another sign that the Lord is working. It's another opportunity, resting in the Spirit, to be free from inhibitions and fears and uptightness, and allow the Lord to come into your being, your inner being and your body itself, for whatever kind of level of healing the Lord wants to work out for you at that point in time. And then of course the Lord distributes other kinds of gifts in various kinds of ways. Some people have the ability to call out healings. Others have, we have our friend Kevin, who experiences different, the Lord uses, has different kind of, maybe Barbara could explain that little gift from Kevin, how the Lord's been working there. But the Lord uses different things, you know, to alert people to how it's, and the healing mass is a context that everybody can be part of. You know, every Catholic can feel part of the mass. It's the, sometimes people get uptight at an open-ended service. How long is it going to be, or what are they going to ask of me? Or whereas the healing mass is a more, you know, it's a more familiar environment. So we try to do one every single month. And you guys are, you guys have got a little mini healing service going there every week. You got it every week. Wow, and I bet you get a lot of people too.
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But the Lord says, don't worry about the numbers.
Yes. Well, I was just thinking, there's been a little movement to get a little, to get our little chapel refurbished, and I was thinking of that as a little healing place. You know, used to be the baptistry. You know, and then when they moved the baptistries to accommodate more people up to the front, nearer to the altar, it kind of became a catch-all kind of place. The Haitian people kind of like it because it's the only stained glass window that we have of a black person. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch. So the Haitian people kind of took it over a little bit, but it's become a little storehouse. But there's been a movement to try to get it into back to an adoration chapel. So I think it might be a place for healing too, at on different moments. So I'm thinking about that, asking the Lord to show me more about that too. But I mean, you might want to.
Well, really, St. Catherine's is combining the Eucharist also, right? Because it's after Mass, isn't it?
It's after Mass.
Yes. When you pray, it's after Mass.
No, I just wanted to mention, this is great, and I felt good in my spirit, like, about that little chapel.
Oh, you know about the little chapel already?
As I mentioned,
yeah. The little chapel. Well, you get to St. Francis, we'll point it out.
I've never seen it.
Say a prayer that they have to raise, that the folks who want it have to raise. I said, if you're willing to have to generate some funds for me to get this thing renovated and fixed up, that'll be, they jumped at it right away.
Katarina is very tuned into the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
In her spirit, she'll know. Yes, that fits.
That's a fit.
So
yeah.
That's, I'd take that and run with it.
Okay. I think it's interesting. I just thought of the figure of the eunuch, you said?
Yeah, the Ethiopian.
Yeah.
Philip the deacon baptizes him and so forth. Stephen, Philip, those are the deacons that are mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. And he comes upon this Ethiopian official. It's, it's very surprising, because the Ethiopians are among the darkest people, you know. They're amazing. And of course, there were a whole bunch of Ethiopians showed up in Israel claiming to be Jews and wanting to be admitted. You know that Israel has a law that if you're a Jewish, you can't not be admitted. But they got upset because they said, well, you can't be Jewish, you're Ethiopian. Mm-hmm. You know, but you say to yourself, well, what was this Ethiopian doing in Jerusalem? You know, there probably was some kind of a Jewish colony back in Ethiopia, back even in those times, you know what I mean? So eventually I think some of them got admitted. But then, of course, Philip the deacon baptized the eunuch, and then he really, you know, embraced the fullness of what God wanted for his people, you know, in accepting Christ.
That's great. That just reminded me of what we were talking about before, how God qualifies the called, and even though he was a eunuch and like a black person. You know, he was seen as not, you know, somebody, I guess, to be associated with baptism and this. And yeah, it just reminded me of that. And I just, if you don't mind, I just thought of my own testimony as you were speaking. And I wasn't going to share, or I didn't think I was going to share today, but something that inspired me, actually, that is a healing story for me, happened recently. I was listening in the car on my way to work of a past CD of Redemptive Suffering that you and Carol Rubano and Joan Chufo and Mr. Chufo had last year, I believe it was. And it was interesting that at one point, I think it was you said something at one point that really touched me in the CD, but the whole CD was very powerful, but how
about the redemptive suffering.
You're right. How the Lord uses our struggles and, let's say, our illness or whatever we have, if we try our best to allow the Lord to come in, or just try in our weak humanity to unite ourselves with the Lord's, the cross, with his suffering, how he's going to allow that grace to flow through you and to bless other people. And one thing for me personally, I have a thyroid condition. So usually people who have it, I have underactive thyroid, usually have it for the rest of their life, and they have to take a medicine once a day to, you know, stabilize it and stuff. And it was just kind of something always in my life that, I don't know if you would say I complained, but I was always like, oh God, you know, you're God. You can just take it away from me in a second. You know, I could go to like a pray over and God could be like, you don't have it anymore. And then everything will be good. But I was just listening to that CD and it just kind of hit me that it's God's will that he wanted it for me. And something along the lines of, Lord, have your way with me. I accept that I have this. Just use the suffering of this that I go through, or just the fact that I have it, to bless other people, or just, I've been trying to understand it. Like, God, why do I have it? And, you know, and da, da, da. But just now it's just kind of more, okay, you know, I just need to thank God that I'm able to take medicine that helps me, and just to just accept his will and just be happy about it, because I'm sure that's what God would want of me. Is, you know, it won't help me to always be upset about it. If there's nothing I have it, you know, there's nothing you could do.
Katharina, you're very young, mm-hmm. you know, so you have it now, and then who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not healed yet. But who knows right. about the future?
Right. Healing is such a process. Such a process. I also have an amazing healing story. But I just wanted to say, as far as God's will, it's not so much that God is willing that you have a disease, but it's that God is going to take that and turn it to good for you. Mm-hmm. You know, like Harry mentioned, our ancestral heritage. Well, you know, so many things go into what causes us to have flaws and failings emotionally and physically. So many things go into that. And grace builds on nature, you know. But the Lord's promise to us is that he takes whatever is going on and turns it to good that we could never imagine. A million times better than if we didn't have the issue in the first place. So, you know, in a sense, he's allowing it. But the word yet, you know, we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. I don't know. Can I tell a very quick? Make it very distilled. It's a very long story. It'll be distilled. Okay. So I was diagnosed with a disease that causes blindness. And I prayed. I think Father Peter at the time said, go down to Calvary Pentecostal Church down in Virginia. They have amazing healing ministries down there. And, you know, several of the priests have been down there, and they were very Catholic friendly. And there was a wonderful woman there, Ruth Heflin. And so I went down there, and I asked the Lord, please, you know, heal my eyes. You know, this is the biggest thing in my life. And, of course, they didn't get healed. So I was going on and on from place to place for about 10 years, always expecting this great healing, which never happened. And then one day, my husband and I were sitting in North Carolina, and we were at a conference with a wonderful group that's associated with Bonnie and Mahesh Shavda. I don't know if you guys know that those names, but they were ministering to people. They were ministering healing to people. And by this time, I had basically, I wasn't really able to drive. If I had a client across from me, they looked hazy, blurry. I was having a lot of trouble with my eyes. But I kind of said, okay, well, you know, how many times do I have to ask the Lord, you know? Well, the answer is you never stop. But at where I was then in my journey, it was like, okay, I did that. So, you know, let's see what happens. So I was kind of like not tuned into it. Whereas for 10 years, I had been so tuned into it, waiting for that moment when somebody was going to say, call me out of the audience and say, hey, there's someone, you know. So all of a sudden, this guy, Mahesh Shavda, is up there, and he says, so there's a woman here in her 60s, and she's being healed of a disease of the retina that's causing blindness. But it went right over my head. Right over my head by this time.
So it wasn't you. It wasn't.
I wasn't even connecting. Right. Then all of a sudden, he said it again. Now, where are you? I know you're here. Now, there's about, I don't know, 1,000 people, 1,500 people in this conference room, auditorium. So anyway, my husband says to me, that's you. I said, what? What? What happened? He said, that's you. You're getting healed. Get up there.
That's right.
And really, it looked like they have the video of me walking up there. It looked like something out of, I don't know. It's real. My kids love playing it because they love laughing at it. I look like I don't know what hit me, and I'm in a daze, and I walk up there. Anyway, 25/20/2020. I was totally healed. Yeah. When I had absolutely given to the Lord, whatever, you know, yeah. So don't give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. The Lord was so gracious to me because I wasn't even still praying for it. But really, the real message here is never give up. The timing is always the Lord's timing, and that timing is always perfect. He doesn't know time. And when I look back now, I see how that timing was perfect.
Beautiful.
He's not constrained by time or space.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's Harry. Rena. We need another hour.
I know, really.
May 1st,
Monday night, is the next healing mass at St. Catherine's in Franklin Square at 7.
7 is the rosary, and then
7:30 rosary at 7, and then afterwards the mass.
Pray overs after.
The next time you guys come back, and I hope you will,
sure,
we'll get some of the stories that you have experienced with the people you've prayed over, you know? Yeah,
sure.
Okay? Would that be good?
One of them.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah, I would love to hear those. Yeah.
Sure. Oh,
Barbara, I just wanted to say one thing. I've really come to understand that every single person, we're all children of God, that God is expecting each and every single person to pray for each other, that it's not, there's no special power given to any particular person. It's the Lord himself who's healing through us. What he's asking us is to be open. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, and to think like that, you know, to have that as our thought process, like renewing our minds in Christ, and always, that's why it's so important to always allow the Lord's thoughts, you know, to be our thoughts, and ask him what's on his heart for a person, because that way we're tuned in to, you know, like, I'm amazed at myself. I am absolutely amazed at myself. I've been in the healing ministry for also, I don't know, 45 years. And yet I'll be with a client, and they'll walk out, and it's like, oh, I should have had a V8, you know? Why didn't I pray with that person? Why didn't I lay hands on that? To this day.
I just want to say something. I'm sorry. Every time I leave your house or have a session with you, I do feel healed, though. I feel like the Lord like yesterday, is just the Lord does heal people, even though they may not realize it. I feel it afterwards. So even though we don't physically pray, every time I've been feeling that since I've been seeing you. So I just wanted to mention that. And all right, so thank you, listeners, for listening, and thank you to our guest speakers. Thank you, everybody. God bless you, and please listen in next week. And if you ever feel like you want to have any questions, donate, please keep us in prayer. Or if you have any prayer requests, you could always text or call 516-784-6081. Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye.
As a gentle breeze.
And it fills our souls with gladness,
and it puts our heart at ease, whether working or at leisure. Jesus wants to show the way. If we take